Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas!
Hey, what's happening? Welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello.
We are back after a week hiatus. Sorry for had the sick bug, but we are back here to talk about the last two games and look forward to the game next weekend against the Texans. Patriots are coming off of back-to-back games against the NFC East, the leaders. Mm-hmm. The two teams at the top of the NFC East who
pretty
are
shitty division, though.
Both struggling and both fell to the Patriots, one at home, one on the road. These were, as we were just chatting about before we started recording, the defensive games, which everybody meshes with boring games.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not, they weren't high-flying offensive games. They were slow, grinded-out field position games, which are, you know, for a true football scheme fan, maybe there'd be huge, you know, really interested in it. Weather really played a big role. I mean, a lot of people, I know people don't like making that as an excuse for a lack of offense, but it's two kind of brutal games, you know, tough games to throw in. So I mean,
particularly the most recent one against the Cowboys, that was like monsoon conditions.
Yeah, like the Cowboys kind of almost gave up because they were like, we want to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, you love that. You see, Belichick tried to wear the hoodie the whole first half. He did the whole first half.
Yeah.
Just like, what are you doing? Why are you wearing cotton in a 40-degree rainstorm?
Gave up on that.
Yeah, rightfully so. Downed up like Jason Garrett over there, who looked cozy as a clam.
Oh, yeah. A little too cozy, maybe, huh?
Boy, that guy's getting a lot of shit this week.
Well, Jerry Jones came out after the game and really let him have it.
Well, yeah, he's like, special teams mistakes, which basically means coaching mistakes. And he's like, damn, son.
Yeah, he's like, that's being literally out-coached. He's like, that's not picking guys or anything like that. It's like, ooh, here we go.
I know, and he said, we have the talent to win games like this, and something's missing. And it's like, well, the only thing that's missing would be coaching.
Yeah.
Right? That's the only thing left. If you've assembled the talent and everybody gets along, which is probably the coach's job as well. So yeah, Jason Garrett's having a tough go, but we can jump back to the Eagles game, which was pretty tight, a lot tighter than you and I had expected.
Yeah.
I know the line on the game was only like 3 or 3.5 points, but I just felt like we just saw it confirmed yesterday earlier this week when the Eagles played the Seahawks and they were anemic offensively. They couldn't do anything. Wentz turned the ball over four times.
The Eagles.
When the Eagles played the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And just got, completely shut down offensively. I think they had 3 points. And,
well, they were missing two more receivers that game, too. They were missing Aguilar and Jeffries, who both did play against us.
That's true. Yeah. We felt that both of those guys, especially Jeffrey, was going to be against the Pats. So the Patriots go out there and, I mean, basically shut them down after the first quarter. Eagles put up a field goal in the first, I think, on the opening possession. And
based
then,
on that was because of a bullshit call on Jason McCourty. They called, second or third play. They call a 58 or 59-yard pass interference call, which, like, was really barely even there.
It was really not there.
I mean, it was really not, you know, to call that on one of the first plays as that, you know, and they literally gave him 3 points because they couldn't do anything. Then they come out, and it's been a bye, coming off the bye. They drive down and score on us, and everyone's like, oh, here goes our defense. This is, you know, what's going on? But then our defense settled, and they were done.
Yep.
Shut them out the second half. They went up 10-0, though, right?
Yeah, 10-0.
And then so it seems that the Patriots' problems are in the red zone.
Especially in this game. They had three consecutive drives.
The last two games, especially, you know?
Oh, yeah, both games. I mean, I guess I don't want to look too much into the Cowboys game just because I think the conditions affected that a ton. But, yes, the receiver.
It didn't affect. Well, yeah. Sanu, I mean, it didn't affect Brady, though.
Brady looked great.
Brady was on the money for a lot of his throws. He was making some great throws out there. And it was like, okay.
Yeah.
The guy,
That was a big point I wanted to make, is that Brady was putting the ball in people's hands. And, like, people make too much about Jacoby Myers not catching that ball in the seam route, but Julian Edelman had a drop ball over the middle. N'Keal Harry had a couple drop balls, but he did make the biggest
Edelman
play.
Edelman had a couple, too.
Yeah.
I thought, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he had a couple. Rex Burkhead definitely had a few. So there were plenty of drop passes. There were also contested passes that our guys couldn't come up with. But I thought Brady was throwing darts.
Mm-hmm.
And when you watch that Eagles-Seahawks game, which wasn't in the same rain conditions, but it was windy, and both Carson Wentz and Russell Wilson absolutely sailed easy touchdown passes. Everyone sees that Carson Wentz play. They don't see the Russell Wilson one where he threw it into the stands while he's running at a wide open receiver.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
But Brady was cutting right
through the wind. I mean, the Philly thing to me, Brady was cutting right through the wind. I mean, the thing that it seems to me is everyone's all over the Patriots offense. To me, it's, you know, the defense gives them opportunities, but they have driven the ball. They'll get like 30 yards. They'll get 50 yards sometimes. Sometimes they'll get 70 yards, and they just can't seem to punch it in, which is annoying. Like this game, you had 3 field goals, right? Make 2 of those touchdowns. It's what looks like a much better offensive game. Now you're at 24-10. You know what I mean?
You're talking about the Eagles game. Right.
Yeah, the Eagles game. Yeah, yeah. Well, really, both games. I mean,
they
the reason
it 3 field goals, 4 field goals in the Cowboys game.
4 field goals, right? Yeah. Missed 2 of them. I mean, 2 of those you score 2 that I know scoring 2 that's a lot, but now you're at 27 points. Now your offense doesn't look like as anemic in the Dallas game. You know what I mean? It's just I think they're, you know, the Eagles game, they didn't run the ball very well. They didn't do a lot well in the Eagles game. The Eagles defense was better than we gave them credit to. They had some secondary pieces come back, which I didn't think would be much. Neither of us did, and ended up being a lot. I mean,
yeah.
Russell Wilson's the MVP of the league in Seattle, and they went in. Didn't they only score 17?
I think they scored 20, but they had to go, similarly to the Patriots, they had to go with the flea flicker to get a touchdown. I know
to get the point.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, the double pass, I should say, for Julian Edelman. But the Seahawks had to go to the flea flicker to get their first touchdown.
Right. So they're one of the better, you know, everyone's saying, oh, they're a great offense, all this stuff. I mean, there you go. They scored roughly the same in the same ways as we did.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I know. It's not as bad as it might look. And Edelman is banged up. He's routinely on the injury report. Seems like Brady is too, but he doesn't look like it to me. And in the Eagles game, we're missing Isaiah Wynn. He comes back in the Cowboys game, and what'd you think? I thought he looked pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't perfect. He was still, you know, he had a couple plays which weren't great, but overall, it was significantly better.
And a significant improvement over Marshall Newhouse.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, you saw right off, just looking at the stats, I mean, Sony Michel actually had running room and looked good.
Right?
I thought Sony looked really good in Dallas. I mean, not great, but, you know, 20 carries for 85 yards. That's over 4 yards a carry, finally. He was getting to the holes fast. There was one play he made a great cut, which I feel like we haven't seen at all from him.
A lateral cut,
Lateral cut where he made a move, had great vision, and got like another 10 yards after that or something. So you started to see that. So, okay, clearly things were opening up there. Maybe Ted Karras is getting a little better too. The pass protection, Brady had time. You know, you look over on the left side, it wasn't like he had to immediately step up every single time. He had a second to, it was almost like he had a second, just a split second to breathe a little more than last, you know, Newhouse in there.
And that's all it takes. That's really all it takes.
That's all it takes.
I know.
That's all you need.
I think one of the other issues with that is he was holding the ball longer, which is nice because that means he's more comfortable.
Yeah.
I think one of the other reasons for that is he's working with his fourth and fifth receivers and is unable to, you know, they're not uncovering immediately in a way that Mohamed Sanu can get open faster than Jacoby Myers can. It takes longer.
Right. Right. And they don't have that rapport either, where even if he's not open, you can just throw it to him and feel comfortable that he's going to, you know, one of those young receivers is going to get it.
Right.
But before we move on, I wanted to say about the offensive line, the one thing that I think is really underrated that nobody talks about is now that Isaiah Wynn comes in. I know Newhouse, everyone thinks he's trash, but our swing tackle is back.
Yeah, true.
Now we have a swing tackle position back where we, you know, at least Newhouse will be getting practice. So if we come in this position again, It's like, oh, well, now instead of him being under the gun getting practice, he's actually going to get some reps where he can maybe work on his craft a little, which we need, and they'll put him in because we have a swing tackle. We always used Cam Fleming, whatever the hell the guy was. What was his last name last year? The huge dude with the dreads.
Ladrian Waddle.
Waddle. You know, we always had some swing tackle. It wasn't great, but would come in for blocking plays and do a decent job.
You talk about a guy that would play tight end.
Basically, yeah, tight end. A come in, the tight tackle end. Would come in and tight end. That's what I'm talking about, yes.
Yeah, totally. I know. Come that's, in. That's great.
And that would open up the running. We didn't. That position didn't exist for the last since Wynn's been down.
Yeah, we've had that.
Like, I don't think we had another. They were terrible.
Yeah, he like, really. Well, he bad. Was picked up off of waivers. It was somebody nobody else. So yeah, it'll be nice. You could use him as a third tight end because we can't seem to get three tight ends healthy.
Yeah, exactly. And so our line is getting there. I feel like.
I know.
Shaq Mason, Tooney's been playing really well. Cannon played sick, and they said that, you know, he was really sick. They made him seem like he was really sick, and he almost didn't play. They gave him a couple plays off after halftime. He, you know, so he played really good for being sick. So if he can get healthy and play that good or better, you know, that'd be great. My only thing is Shaq Mason, the last two games I felt like has been pretty bad. You know, he has a lot of good plays, but he's had some really bad plays the last couple games where he's just shedding off blocks to guys that aren't there with him and you know, doing missing guys on pulls and stuff like that. It just hasn't been great from him. If he can shore it up, we actually might have a decent offensive line by the end of the season.
We should have a decent. I think Shaq had a holding penalty also. The really encouraging thing that I saw beyond the pass protection is at the end of the game, Pats have the ball with like a buck 40 to go. Cowboys have all three timeouts, you know, after the second tripping penalty. And they were able to run for a first down.
Yeah.
They huge. Pulled that off. And I don't know what the hell we were doing. I was screaming at the tiny little TV on the plane while I'm watching this shit. And then we got a minute 32 to go. And we need to burn the whole thing. But it's first and goal. And they take a knee. And I'm like,
yeah.
They have one timeout left. So you only have the full play clock between like second and third down and third and fourth down. So that's 40 seconds, which gets you to a minute 20. So you got to burn 13 seconds. With these four plays, and they take a knee, and then they run the ball, and then they take a knee again, and you're left with 5 seconds at the end. I'm like, why didn't you just run it three times? And you're
go for the touchdown there. Run it. And if you don't get it, burn the clock. I didn't get that either. I don't know.
Taking
what
a knee
was.
On first down and then running it on second, and then the knee again on third was like they weren't sure about what to do at that time.
Yeah, that wasn't Bill's best. I don't know why.
And then the clock guy screwed up on the last. Time it's so funny to watch that clip while Edelman's over there with his arms out and the ball's still in the air and it's the clock is just lingering at 1 second for like
exactly. That was so stupid. Dallas, you know, the Eagles are what I kind of expected. Their defense, they're a tough team. They're gonna play tough, you know. Dallas, I felt like, is a team with talent that's soft as grapes. It's like you put them, you take them out of their dome, and you go, oh, you want to play in some inclement weather or against a tough opponent that's going to smash you in the mouth, and they can't do it. They completely fold, and that's probably Jason Garrett, the way he's coaching. I hate Ezekiel Elliott.
Why?
I hate the way he plays. I hate the way he looks.
Like the way he looks. I don't like that headband with the hair.
He wears a bull ring in his nose, and then after they're down, what was it, like 17-6 or something, he runs for a first down, and he does his little spoon thing. It's like, dude, you are losing.
Nobody scored that many points.
But like, you're losing the game. You get a first fucking down, and he goes and does a little spoon, like, celebration eating thing, like he's eating. It's like, you're losing. You ain't eating shit.
He's trying to get the troops going, right?
No, that's all selfish.
It's marketing
crap. It's like, dude, what are you out of your, like, Jesus Christ, this is why you guys aren't fucking winning.
I like the way he runs. He's a good back. He was playing really well today, and that's one of the things that I live on Sundays. As far as I know, Sundays last for about 154 hours.
Yeah, right.
And then you just repeat it. But the last both of these games, Cowboys and Eagles, As much as we think the defense played really well, it's like they're still running the ball. Other teams are still running the ball against the Patriots' defense. It might not be overwhelming. It might not be enough to win the game. but they're still moving it. And the thing that we're doing is we're getting them into third and twos, things like that. And then our they try to throw the ball. And they,
yeah, I don't really stop them. Dallas did that like two or three times.
So many times.
I mean, one of them they did get, but then it got called back for one of those rogue tripping calls, which...
Yeah, I guess we should address it. They certainly didn't look like tripping calls to me.
The officiating was crap all around, I think, in this game.
In all the discussion about this tripping call, how has nobody mentioned the fact that it was both of them were against Dante Hightower doing the exact same thing?
I think I've heard that people talk about that.
But it's Hightower both times.
Yeah.
It was like they went to the referees and they're like, look, 54 is getting tripped. And so they just watched 54.
Well, they were saying that they wonder, you know, I was listening to a radio show. They were saying that they think, wouldn't be surprised if Bill had said something before, or if Bill noticed something, was like, hey, look at these guys. Look at this player for tripping.
But it wasn't one, there was different players both times.
Or whatever. You'd like, look at this team, this line, maybe, you know, their legs are higher, whatever. I mean, I thought that was crap.
It was crap.
And I thought there was a whole drive where they were just letting Dallas's guy, you know, Dallas's secondary do whatever they wanted to our receivers. There was one where Sean Lee was essentially tackling Rex Burkhead out of the sidelines when the ball was coming. And, you know, I know that's not a big play or anything, but it's like, hey, that's an 8 yards and a first down that they didn't just call.
Yeah, there were a few times where they, you know, the classic, the guy runs a slant and the defender turns his hip while deflects the ball in front of him.
Yeah.
There were a few of those that just went by, especially Edelman. He turns around, he's like, what the heck was that?
Yeah.
And finally, at the end of the game, they did call one of them.
There was one where Jacoby Myers got hit early.
And it was definitely got hit early.
It was a, you know, 7 or 8 yard gain if he caught it, but he, like, you don't want to call those? Fine. Don't call them. I don't care. I'd rather not them be called, but don't give us other little ticky-tack. They called something on J.C. Jackson on the first drive. It's like, you know, that's not P.I. I mean, maybe a little bit, but if you're going to call that, now you got to call this other shit, and you didn't call any of this other shit. It's like, just don't call any of it.
Yeah.
For Christ's sake. Let them play if you're going to let them play, you know?
Yeah. One other thing about the tripping calls, now that I think about it, you mentioned if Belichick had kind of put the thought into the mind of the refs or noticed something about the way that the Cowboys offensive linemen react to a stunt like that.
Yeah.
You notice the time they called the tripping penalty and everybody's like, this is why it's the refs are in the Patriots' behavior is because it was on 3rd and 1, the most crucial play of the game. It's like, now they called that stunt on that play for that exact reason. Because right. They know it's the most crucial play of the game. Remember the do your job about the Super Bowl against the Falcons, and it's like 3rd and 10, it's this huge play, and they send Chris Long on the exact rush lane that they know these refs like to call. It's like they do that on purpose. It's like calling your best play on offense. It's you're going to put yourself in the best chance to succeed on this play.
Right.
So yeah, Belichick's a genius, and Jason Garrett's a dummy.
Yeah, what did you think about that, him going for another field goal and setting up a touchdown?
Extremely dumb. There's no guarantee. I understand that there were 6 minutes to go and the Patriots offense had not been playing well, despite the fact that they had a touchdown and 4 field goal attempts.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they didn't move the ball at all. But you have 3 timeouts, 6 minutes. Are they actually going to be able to run this clock out in a way that prevents us from having another chance at a touchdown? That's one way of thinking. The other way is going, that's Tom Brady over there. I'm not giving him the ball back, needing to take it from him and drive the full length of the field for a touchdown.
Right.
It doesn't change the fact that you need a touchdown. And then also, if you fail on 4th down there, they were inside the 20-yard line. They might have even been inside the 15. It's like, now you're forcing Brady and them to try to do this drive with everything to lose, meaning if they turn the ball over, you get the ball immediately in the red zone, to try to do a 6-minute drill from inside your own 15-yard line. Just, it seemed dumb. And as everybody's pointed out, the play calling leading up to that by no means gave you the indication they were going to go for it on 4th down, meaning they didn't run the ball. Dak Prescott didn't run the ball. They didn't do a screen, like nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was stupid. I think they should have known what they should have planned for going for it on 4th down ahead of time.
Didn't seem like they planned for anything this game.
No.
I mean, Dak Prescott was fucking with his gloves for the first half. It's like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
Nobody you know, Bill is always, I feel like you've seen those clips, but he's always all about, like, the field conditions and your cleats in the field conditions and making sure you know, what it's going to be like out there and how you're going to deal with it. It's like Dak had no idea. He was taping his gloves to his shirt because, like, his little shitty gloves were falling off. It's like,
Didn't he do warm-ups?
Yeah, it's like Troy Aikman, he was like, dude, you have to, he's like, they figured this stuff out. He's like, 30 years ago when I was playing, they came out with these sticky gloves for you wore when it was wet out. He's like, what is he doing down there?
Couldn't tell you.
Ugh.
I know, they were completely unprepared. They it's almost like they didn't even know which way the wind was blowing.
Yeah, they had no, I don't know if they knew anything. I mean, outside of their run game, they really didn't do anything. They had a couple good completions. Randall Cobb actually had a sneakily decent game.
Well, he had that big chunk yardage play.
Yeah. Amari Cooper got absolutely shut down, which shows Gilmore. It seemed like Amari was checked out because couldn't get anything going. I mean, he almost had that ball in the end where he should have caught that, and that should have been a completion. I mean, there was nothing Gilmore did there to hinder him catching the ball. But, you know, it just, even if Gilmore demoralizes the guy, I mean, that goes to show. What do you say, Cooper, top 20, top 15 receiver?
Yeah, yeah.
In the NFL, I mean, if you can shut down for zero catches a top 15 to 20 NFL receiver, I don't know of any other guy in the NFL that can do that, to shut somebody down, like shut them out. I don't think anybody.
Yeah, nobody is coming to mind.
I don't think anyone's done that on, like, a top receiver, like he got nothing.
Yeah, he literally zero for zero.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, the interception, when you look at Amari Cooper, I know he had to lay out to try to catch that ball. Also, it was, what, like fourth and 17 or something, the biggest play of the game, and he can't make the catch. I understand he had to go horizontal. But previously in the game, Stephon Gilmore also went horizontal and caught the fucking ball.
Yeah, on a pick.
Started with one hand. And
that was a bad throw by Dak, but yeah. Bad throw.
It was a bad snap, and then Dak totally freaked out and just got rid of it and threw it behind him.
Dak had a 15.3 QBR.
Doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me at all. He got hit a bunch too.
He didn't get sacked though. Stunning.
He didn't get sacked. Yeah.
So the other thing is encouraging is N'Keal Harry's back along with Isaiah Wynn. But so you got Harry and Myers. I feel like Lacoste, they could start using him in a positive way. Now you can kind of do a double tight thing. It's a poor man's double tight, but it's double tight nonetheless, which you've had a lot of. You could have some success, but at least running the ball. And I think Myers and Harry look pretty good. Myers had some drops. He might have run the wrong route a couple times, but the kid can play. It's just getting him to that point.
Yeah, and Brady threw to him nine times.
Nine times. He only caught four of them. It didn't seem that bad, though.
And the play he made on the left sideline where he, like, shrugged off one guy, juked another guy.
That was awesome.
Did not know he had yards after catch ability like that.
Yes. So that right there was really good. Just a great play. And he had a couple other little ones that were nice. But that right there, like, okay, this guy's got something. If we have to rely on him for a fourth or fifth receiver, that's fine.
I'm cool with that. He could play the Malcolm Mitchell role. I'm totally fine with that.
He can play that and maybe come up, you know, just keep gaining. Brady, don't lose complete sorts of him and just, you know, keep just chugging along there and maybe he'll do something. Harry, I think he's got to get his hands figured out. What's going on with that? I mean, maybe it was because the ball was wet or this or that, but that was a great catch in the end zone. I won't take that from him.
He made the biggest play of the game. He single-handedly won the game.
See how pumped Brady was about that?
Brady was amped, and they went back to that play again, and he dropped it.
Yeah,
one of the later.
It was in his hands. He had it. He should. So that was one of the plays. Maybe it was because it was wet out.
Maybe. He also lined up incorrectly a couple times, and Brady had to come over and put him in place.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So the two of those guys, they got to get in the playbook. They got to figure that shit out. And you know, the offense, I'm not. You know, it's getting better. I feel like it's growing. It's going to get to a place where I'm comfortable that they can score points.
Me too. I think the line is only going to get better from here.
And basically, if you look at the schedule going forward, and we'll allude to this when we get into the Houston game, we really don't play that many good defenses coming out here. I think it's Buffalo.
Buffalo is good. But
City's terrible. Houston's terrible. Bengals are the Bengals. Miami. It's
a bunch of defenses to kick the living shit out of.
If there's a few. I mean, you got Buffalo. That's a test, obviously.
That's a tough one.
But outside of that, yeah, definitely in the next 2 weeks. I mean, these are some games you can really start going at. One thing I wanted to ask you also was James White.
Yeah, what was the deal? Why did he not get any looks?
They put Burkhead in there. Burkhead can't get any fucking separation on Sean Lee. It's like Brady was just going to him because he should get the separation. He couldn't. And James White wasn't really going. And I don't know. I've heard a few things about it, but I don't really get it. Few theories I've heard. One is that because Gronk's not there, there's not that, you know, big offensive piece that draws double coverage, that now teams are electing to put a safety on James White all the time as opposed to a linebacker because of the alignment, which I can understand happening all the time, but I don't think the Cowboys would be smart enough to do that 100% of the time, and I don't think it was happening 100% of the time.
Yeah, we've heard this. It goes back to a couple weeks ago. I think the Ravens game, when even the announcers were saying, look, we talked to the Ravens before the game, and they have chosen to view James White as a receiver, so they'll put in an extra defensive back when he's on the field versus if Rex Burkhead was on the field, they would put in a linebacker.
Right.
So you'd heard that before, and then James White lit it up against the Ravens, too.
Oh, did he?
Regardless, he lit it up. And maybe it is that other teams are changing their personnel,
and then
he's out there.
Right. Now, the other thing that I think is a little more believable, but I obviously don't know, is that they're just saving him because last year he had a ton, like through the first 10 games, he had a ton of touches, and he was kind of burnt out in the playoffs a little bit.
Dude, we said this the last couple of years. This has been an ongoing thing for us. Like, what, after James White blew up in that Falcons Super Bowl, following year, we're like, why isn't this guy getting 50% of the snaps at running back? And we came to believe that it was because they were saving him. And that's very, very well might be the case. He is more essential, or I guess more impactful for our future than Rex Burkhead is.
Oh, 100%. And I mean, the thing is, when you talk about like all the safety thing, is, yeah, that could be happening, like you said. But one, I would believe that James White would beat a third cornerback or a safety. I mean, not all the time, but I would think he could get open a little bit. And they didn't do that when Rex Burkhead was on the field. He was on a linebacker. Now, maybe when they see James White, they switch it up, this, that, the other thing. But it's like, well, I don't know.
Yeah. Some teams will make personnel decisions like that where they'll go into a dime coverage package if they see James White come on versus they would go nickel if Burkhead's on.
But Brady doesn't always let you get your substitutions in.
Well, if you're bringing James White in, then you're doing a substitution. The defense has a right to substitute.
That's true. Well, what's your theory? What do you think?
I don't know. Maybe his footing wasn't very good. I mean, it's not like he wasn't on the field. He was targeted 3 times. He had 2 carries. Which is the same number of carries as Burkhead. Burkhead was only targeted 5 times. It's not like it was that different, but maybe they looked at him and were like, dude, you got nothing going on. It's not working for you. We're going to go in a different way.
James White?
Yeah.
What's not working for him?
Maybe he didn't have footing. Maybe he wasn't feeling it. Was he on the injury report going in? I can't remember.
Nope.
I don't think so, yeah. I don't know.
I feel like they got to be saving for him. In a raining day, they're like, we don't want him to get hurt.
Could be that, yeah.
You know, it's pouring out there. Everyone's slipping and sliding. They're like, the last person we can get hurt on this offense is James White. Because the
last person is Brady, and then behind that's Edelman, and then...
Brady, well, Edelman, I mean, as good as he is, yeah. I feel like James White could be more important going forward.
Not even close.
You don't think so?
Close. No way.
Nah, yeah, you're right.
No way at all, but... Yeah, James White's going to be a big part of their future, and probably see it in the next couple weeks. I'm betting that Kansas City Chiefs game is going to be a big game.
Yeah, because their defense is trash, too.
Total trash. Yeah. What were some of the other games? There were a couple good ones this week. New Orleans ekes it out again against Carolina. Carolina is, I mean, who the heck knows what's going on with that team? They get all these NFC South teams, Saints get blown out by the Falcons. Carolina gets blown out by the Falcons. Then they play each other. It's a tight game. Then the Falcons go down big to, who did they lose?
Tampa.
Atlanta loses big to Tampa Bay. It's like, I don't know what to think of that division. But
well, yeah, the Saints, it's crazy. They're playing such close games now. It's like, what happened to that defense? They gave up 34 to Carolina.
31. They scored
31.
It should have been 34.
They scored 31. Yeah.
They couldn't stop him at all.
It's amazing too that it's kind of amazing that what's his name McCaffrey wasn't the rushing leader. Is that possible?
I just checked it the other day. He was the rushing leader. It's pretty close though between him and Dalvin Cook.
No, I mean on that game, that particular game, Latavius Murray did. He gets the ball every single play.
McCaffrey,
they look at him every. It seems like every play is designed for that guy. That poor guy is going to be a bag of fucking shit in the next 4 or 5 years if he's getting that many touches.
I can't believe how durable he is, because even going back to his Stanford days, it was the same thing. He got like 350 carries each year in college.
Yeah.
He's just that guy's been run into the ground for years and years, and he just will not give up. The other ones, you're right, Seattle was 17-9.
See that? Seattle scored 17.
Tennessee is on like a 3-game winning streak with Ryan Tannehill. They blow out Jacksonville. Nick Foles not looking so hot.
The Jets kicked the crap out of the Oakland.
Another 3-game winning streak. Yeah,
Jets. The Oakland needed that. And then the thing that's crazy is the two biggest games of the week. I thought, the Patriots Dallas game was ratings wise, I think the biggest, but NFL-wise, Green Bay at San Francisco, everyone's thinking that's going to be a fantastic game. It ends up being a blowout. San Francisco kicks the crap out of them. And then last night, Baltimore at L.A., I thought that was going to be just a great game. And Lamar, man, just continues.
Yeah.
I mean, Lamar didn't even have over 200 yards passing, and they scored 45 points.
He had five touchdown passes.
That's insane.
Yeah, I know. He's pretty good. And the announcers were really annoying me because they must have said Lamar Jackson twice on every single play,
yeah,
including Baltimore defensive play. I mean, he was that great. He really was.
Yeah.
And has been for a while now. But, oh, my God, it was just so annoying. Shut up for a second.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
He's pretty insane. I mean, Baltimore is... They're just clicking on all fronts right now. They're running the ball just fantastically. Lamar has that thing where he hides the ball on the handoff. And, another Rams player last night said, he was like, I literally didn't know who had the ball most of the time. Yeah, the safety totally. Or something. So I think I'd be surprised if their steam doesn't run out. I'd be surprised if they can do this for the next 5 games and into the playoffs, because we've seen this time and time again where you have just this team that's utterly dominating through, week 7 through 12 or 13 or something. And they're just kicking the crap out of everybody. They look untouchable. They look like the absolute lock. And, then the playoffs come around and it's almost like the wheels are worn out. They've kind of kicked their tires there a little bit. It's tough to get to that point because they were so high before, and it's like, how do you get back there and stuff like that, versus these teams almost like the Patriots or the Niners. It's like, they're not really kicking the crap out of, they've had their share of blowouts, a couple blowouts, but they're kind of building this thing slowly, and you can see these improvements happening, and slowly each tick of the ladder moving up and up and up, and then they get to the playoffs and it's like, okay, their team is just well rounded at this point.
I totally agree with that, and a lot of it could be your team is perfectly healthy right now, and it just can't continue.
Yeah,
forever. That doesn't always happen.
Like,
it can also be you're putting a lot of shit on tape, and eventually someone's gonna
find something.
Look what the Rams offense has done since they played the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I mean, they put something on tape, and that offense has not recovered since.
Right, you're right, 100%.
Even though they got Cooper Kupp back, who's their leading receiver.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes shit just it doesn't last, and you could go right back to October of this year and look at the Saints. The Saints looked unbeatable in October, and then in November, all of a sudden, not so good.
Yeah. They're now very beatable.
Great example is the 2015 Patriots. They start 10-0. They look like world beaters.
Yeah.
World beaters. And then injuries on the offensive line. And then their offense completely shuts down to the point, I mean, we lose 2 games at the end of the season. They lose home field advantage, have to go to Denver, lose that game.
Right. And that's all it takes.
Yeah. Classic example.
Well, and you're talking about offensive line issues. Speaking to Baltimore, not that I'm, I never liked Baltimore to win, but not that I'm rooting against them right now, is they just lost their center.
Really?
Yeah, he's hurt. I don't know if he might be out for the season, but he's hurt. I mean, you know, everyone thinks, oh, center, what's that going to do? We saw for the first 8 weeks of the season what a replacement center looks like, where it takes them, you know, Ted Karras is actually a good center, too. I feel like he could start somewhere else. And, you know, we had some serious growing pains there, and I don't know who their backup center is, but it's like, well, that's not a good start.
Hope he got a good one.
Yeah, exactly. Hope he's really good.
Doing shotgun snaps every fucking play and working double teams everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they're an impressive team, and this kind of leads us into the Patriots' next opponent, who the Houston Texans come in at 7-4, and as recently as 2 weeks ago, got their doors blown off by that Ravens team. The week after, the Ravens are playing good teams recently too, right?
It continues.
Yeah,
I think they play Kansas City. They play San Francisco. They got a couple teams coming up
next week. Yeah, Patriots. Texans, Rams, San Fran, Chiefs are coming. Oh no, they already played the Chiefs. But the Texans were playing really well. They had beaten the Chiefs. They were looking like they were pretty much the lock in the AFC South and potentially one of the bye teams.
Yeah,
because they had the tiebreaker over the Chiefs, and then the Ravens kicked the living crap out of them. And then Houston on a short week they were hosting the Colts. In a game that they didn't play very well. They did enough to win at the end. I mean, big thanks to DeAndre Hopkins on a couple big catches. Will Fuller had a really good game. But despite the stat line on Deshaun Watson, it was not a dominating person.
No.
And it was a gutsy win for them, and that was good, especially they needed in a division. Because if they were going to be sitting there at 6-5, that's a big difference than 7-4 and having an edge over the Colts like that. But they're not playing their best right now. They've had some injuries. And, I mean, let's start by talking about their defense because their offense is way more interesting. Defensively, yeah, we always remember this team as having, like, too many first-round pass rushers.
Mm-hmm.
Is like, and now you look over there, and there's still Whitney Merciless, but J.J. Watt's on IR. Jadeveon Clowney's in the Northwest. And... I don't see. I mean, Barcavius Mingo. Who are you worried about?
Barcavius Mingo's there. I don't consider him a pass rusher.
He was part of the Jadeveon Clowney deal. Yeah,
I don't know. And I honestly don't. I really don't know many of these guys. Brandon Dunn, DJ Reader, Angelo Blackson. I don't know any of these guys. Brennan Auburn. Scarlett.
Yeah. So they don't have a lot, and you can look, and it goes directly. I mean, it's directly reflected in how their defense is performing. They're 25th in the league against the pass. They have 5 interceptions total on the season because they can't pressure the quarterback at all. Their defensive backfield is so-so. They're 24th in yards per rush against. Like, they're just giving up 4.6 yards per rush.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good sight. They have Bernardrick McKinney and Zach Cunningham in the middle as inside linebackers, and those guys can both run a bit. Bernardrick's a bit bigger. Cunningham's a bit faster.
But yeah, they're all right.
I think they're both top 6 in the NFL in tackles. Like, they're doing everything.
Really?
And then, yeah. And then on the back end is the old people, you know, Tayshawn Gibson, Justin Reed, Mike Adams. That guy does not age. Jonathan Joseph,
as hell. So, I mean, what you're saying is our Patriots offense, if we're going to get our offense going.
This is a good time.
This could be a game.
This could be a game.
Yeah. This could be something where we can score. I mean, yeah, Dallas's defense at least is talent. I know they were missing Van Der Esch last week, but they still, you know, they got Michael Bennett. They have, what's his name, the other guy, DeMarcus Lawrence at D-line. I mean, those are two good D-linemen.
Robert Quinn.
Robert Quinn, you know, their Robinson's linebacker, who's disgusting.
Jalen Smith.
So, you know, they got Byron, is it Byron Smith?
Byron Jones at cornerback.
Jones. Yeah, so they got some, you know, that's a much better defense. The Eagles is a much better defense. So, finally... This seems like a team that our offense can take advantage of. If we don't take advantage of them, I think this will be a good sign of things to come. Okay, maybe our offense really just isn't going to do much.
And how long has Romeo Crennel been the defensive coordinator there? Like 6 years, right? Something like that.
At least.
And they've had a slew of other former Patriots on that staff, particularly the defensive staff. I know Bill O'Brien's the head coach, but this is a system that the Pats are so familiar with. I mean, Belichick is the one that taught it to Romeo Crennel.
Right.
So it's like he knows the ins and outs. And if you look at the last, I don't know, handful of times the Pats and Texans have faced off, Patriots offense has had their way.
We kicked the crap out of them. I think they had one year where they were, you know, sticking with us, and it was just because they had so much talent on that defense that it was.
I remember that game, and we had to rely on Gronk. But we beat Jacoby Brissett. We beat them with Jacoby Brissett as our quarterback. That was his first career start, was against the Texans and this vaunted defense, and he put up like 20-something points. So pretty encouraged by what we're going to see from the offense. Hopefully Sanu and Dorsett can get back healthy. Not sure yet. We're recording this on Tuesday before the free report comes out. Now, the offense. Deshaun Watson scares the crap out of me.
Does he?
Hell yeah, he does. That dude's a superhero.
Man, he's really good. They got a good offensive line this year. I just think this offense plays right into what we like that our defense covers. It's like a couple guys he likes to throw it up to. DeAndre Hopkins, we've seen time and time again, Gilmore go against him and shut him down for 3 years. So,
is that right?
Eradicate that. Will Fuller is as hit and miss as it comes as a receiver. I mean, he is boom or bust to the max, and I think we have plenty of corner. You know, if you put J.C. Jackson or McCourty or Johnny Jones on him and then cover him with the safety over the top, you're fine. They're tight ends. Darren Fells, I mean, he's not much to worry about. Jordan Akins, not much to worry. I mean, the tight ends don't scare me. Patrick Chung, I don't know. Deshaun Watson's the only part that scares me. The running game, Carlos Hyde, I think, is average. Duke Johnson is average. I mean, maybe they'll run on you. We've been that's the issue. We've been giving up 4 yards of rush. So right. At least 4 yards of rush, which is not good. Like almost the last two games, I feel like we've averaged that, which is you want to be under that. And I think it really comes down to if they keep Deshaun Watson in the pocket or they let him run around.
Well, their attempt is to keep him in the pocket. It always is with any of these mobile quarterbacks.
But, well, not necessarily. I mean, the reason I feel like Lamar got us good was because the anticipation of him running kept us on our heels until we settled down and we're like, okay, we know how to deal with this. But that initial, oh, is he going to take off, really gets them badly.
Uh-huh.
And Watson's I don't think
he's a thrower first.
Right. He doesn't really do that. They don't really, okay, run it left. Option right. Left, play option, or pass run option, whatever they call it, run pass option, RPO. He doesn't really do that shit. He's just a pocket passer. And I don't think, you know, you got to make sure he doesn't get out of there, and you'll probably have to do some kind of controlled rush. But if you send blitz up the middle.
I knew you were going to say that.
Of course.
I got to call you out. He's certainly not just a pocket passer, which was your direct quote. He's a lot more than that.
No, but I'm just saying it's like you got to make – it's not like he's gonna have designed run plays for him.
No, very, very rarely, yeah.
That's definitely what I think
in
is –
the way that Lamar does.
Like those are the quarterbacks that have really been screwing us up.
Yeah, he's – the thing that he can he can extend plays with his legs, which he does all the time. And then the thing that always is frustrating for a defense or a viewer is when on third and short, he just takes off. And you're like, God damn it. We had everybody covered up. You were back there for 4 seconds, and then you found a little crease, and you just take off, and you run to the sideline, and you do a little dance, and then the drive continues, and then they hand it off to Carlos Hyde 2 more times, and now you're that much more tired, and this and that. You know, Carlos Hyde is like 6th in the NFL in both carries, and he's top 10.
Say that again. You broke up.
Carlos Hyde is top 10 in both carries and yards.
Well, I think rushing. That's because so yards is because their offensive line is good.
They are. They turned that around quickly. I mean, Laremy Tunsil is a good player, and they gave up a king's ransom for him. But the rest of it came together pretty well. Max Sharping, Nick Martin, Zach Fulton, Titus Howard. I think Nick Martin, was that one of the Notre Dame guys?
I think Nick Martin's pretty good. Zach Fulton's all right. I mean, it's really that they got a left tackle.
Yeah. That's all it took. It fixes a lot.
You know?
Yeah, Nick Martin was Notre Dame.
So, you know, I guess their right side's not fantastic, but, you know, I think that really does a lot for him.
We do match up well with the receivers. I think you're totally right, where they rely very much on DeAndre Hopkins to convert third downs, and Stephon Gilmore he's going to be a thorn in his side. And Will Fuller is a burner, and that's what Jonathan Jones and Jason McCourty are for. That's what they do.
Right, exactly. So I think we're going to cover them up well. It's a matter of if we can, You know, it's how well Deshaun plays, if we can get to Deshaun, how well he's running the ball against us. It's really him. How many, you know, I don't like the, but the thing is, you go and look at who they played, how many points they've been scoring. They started off, you know, I thought they were dynamite originally when they went on their little run there, you know.
When you got 53 against the Falcons, 31 against the Chiefs.
31 against Kansas City, 30 against the Colts, who I thought were good, 27 against Oakland, who's chippy, you know, blowout Jacksonville. They started off a little rusty, though, you know. They only scored 10 against Carolina, but they have a decent defense. But then they lay the egg in Baltimore, and I don't think Baltimore's defense is that good.
I think they're playing
a lot better. They're playing with the momentum of Lamar, but we drove on them.
Yeah, repeatedly.
We drove on them. If Edelman didn't fumble the ball, which wasn't a, you know, forced fumble, he just fumbled it.
Yeah.
That game was completely different. And, you know, offensively that game was different too. So I mean, if we punch that in or get points out, I think we were going into, you know, probably going to score around 30 points that game. And these guys only scored fucking 7. They looked anemic. They couldn't do anything in that game.
I know. They did. They turned the ball over once.
Indy, they went, you know, they scored 30 against Indy the first time at Indianapolis. Now they're at home. They only scored 20. I think they've lost. And Indianapolis has only lost players on defense since then. Not like they. I don't think they've gained anyone. Isn't Leonard still out? I don't know. I guess I shouldn't.
About Leonard. Yeah, actually, the Texans turned the ball over twice against the Ravens, once against the Colts. They ride with however Deshaun is playing, and sometimes like the Jacksonville game in London, he was just playing out of his mind. And then you see times like Baltimore where he was completely shut down, and times like the Colts where he was up and down, but. He's got this way of doing enough, and you saw it by just connecting with DeAndre Hopkins last Thursday night. Also, the thing we kind of glazed over is that they come in on an extended week. They had a Thursday game, get 10 days to prepare, rest up, get a little healthier. Will Fuller is perpetually banged up. We'll see how good he is. Looks like some of the other guys are also a little bit banged up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Last time these two teams played was opening day last year, 27-20, Patriots victory.
Mm-hmm.
I call that the Jeremy Hill game. Remember, Jeremy Hill was our running back?
And he was great.
He had a really good game, and then
he looked awesome.
Blew out his knee. Yeah, could have been.
I remember that. Well, the other thing about the Baltimore, these two last games, they were coming off their bye when they got their shit kicked out of them by Baltimore.
Yeah, what happened?
That is terrible. I don't know what happened. Why they scored 27 points in 2 weeks after their bye. Now, the Patriots, we scored 30, and we didn't even have an offense.
Coming off the bye.
See what I'm saying? Coming off a bye, we scored more than Houston did, and we played two much better defenses. Indianapolis is decent, so I can't say much better, but I would say probably two more talented defenses in horrible weather, in absolute shit weather, and we still scored more than this team.
Combined over the 2 weeks. Yeah, I see what you mean.
Combined over the 2 weeks. And in where everyone's saying our offense is terrible, has looked awful. And here's Houston. They score less. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't bode well for them. That's all I'll say.
Do you know who the offensive play caller is for the Texans?
Is it still Billy O'Brien?
It's Billy O'Brien. Formerly the offensive coordinator under Belichick, taking guidance from Bill, learning from Bill. And now the defensive coordinator he sees on the other side of the field. The hoodie himself, along with his son and the Holy Ghost. I should have called Gerard Mayo that. But that's what he's looking at. Bill O'Brien, I somewhat a disciple, not that he grew up entirely under the Belichick tree, but Belichick is the one that's defensively going against him, and he must know. He must know so much about him.
Oh, yeah. How he's going to call this, what he's going to do against that.
What makes him feel a certain way during the game. Bill's a fiery dude.
Yeah, Bill will get
into
it.
I'm talking about O'Brien, Bill O'Brien.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Absolutely. I'm excited to see that. I want to see him freak out.
I mean, it's Sunday night. It's in New England.
No, it's in Houston.
Is it in Houston?
Dude, I'm going to the game. It's in Houston. I got flights and stuff.
Oh, yeah, it is in Houston.
It better be in Houston. Otherwise, I'm spending
the game. No, you're right. It is in Houston. No, well, hey, finally we'll get some nice weather then, huh?
Yeah.
A game with decent weather. You're going to the game, huh?
I'm going to the game. It's in a dome. And Brady was already cutting it up in the shit weather outside he's going to be on point in this place. I mean, no pass rush.
Yeah.
He's got his full offensive line now. I mean, as full as it has been all year. Boom. He's just going to be, as if he gets his receivers back.
If we get even just, even if he just gets Sanu back.
Sanu I think would be big.
I think our offense will be pretty good.
I think if they get Sanu back, they do that no huddle thing again.
Maybe.
I think I think they could really go to that. And I mean, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work and they'll go away from it. But I could see that being a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's your prediction? What you got?
All right. I think we score. I think we go 31-10.
Ooh. I'm going 31-20.
Okay. You think they think score a little bit?
I think they'll score a little bit. Not that much. Not that much.
I think
but
we
a lot
score.
Of it's going to be in the, from the running.
I mean, if we don't score more than 24 points this game, I'm going to be worried about our offense. And I guess it depends. Obviously, you know, it all depends on the how we score the 24 points. And, you know, is it if we just don't need it? You know, I don't know. The flow of the game, all kinds of crap, whatever. But that'll be my guide. If we can score, you know, 27, 30 points, I'll be like, all right, we're, you know, that's pretty good.
Yeah. This is the last tune-up game before they host the Chiefs and have to score. I mean, the Chiefs are going to score.
Chiefs are going to score, but they haven't been scoring that much. They've been doing great. They're good, but they're not. They haven't been, you know. I feel like Lamar Jackson and the Ravens stole all their fire.
Yeah.
You know?
A little bit. What do you, so Thanksgiving is this week. Mostly shit games. I mean, New Orleans at Atlanta is a rematch of the one 2 or 3 weeks ago. That was a blowout in favor of the Falcons, so that might be interesting. But the big one, I suppose, is the Bills at the Cowboys. Can the Bills win that game? I mean, the Cowboys need that game. They need it.
Yeah, the Bills can definitely win.
I think
the Cowboys
looked good last week.
I don't mind if the Cowboys win because then it's like, oh, well, you know, validates the Patriots win more. I think Dallas is going to Dallas's defense is good. I think Buffalo's going to have a tough time with them. I think it's going to be a close game. I mean, I don't know. It's tough to say. What do we got for where we got? Okay, so Chicago versus Detroit. It's a terrible game, but I'll watch. It's in Dallas. You know?
Obviously, it's in Dallas. It's Thanksgiving.
That's true. It's always in Dallas. Yeah, it's always in Detroit. I don't know. I don't like that game.
I like Josh Allen sitting back there and throwing at 90 yards.
Yeah, you think so?
No, not really.
And then New Orleans at Atlanta I thought would be a terrible game, but now I'm really intrigued.
Yeah, New Orleans is playing close games now.
They're playing close games. I don't know why. Yeah, it's kind of weird. Sunday. Tennessee at Indianapolis is a big game.
I know. That's a fun one, right? Tennessee's kind of turned it around.
Yeah. Green Bay has to get a win. I mean, I don't know what the hell happened to them.
Yeah, well, luckily for them, they got the Giants in front of them.
We got a rematch of Cleveland at Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
that's fun.
We didn't even mention that. We didn't do a podcast right after that, but yeah, the Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph shenanigans.
Idiots. Bunch of idiots all.
Mason Rudolph somehow escapes, despite being a very complicit, total instigator, escapes suspension, only to come back and get benched the next
week. I know he got benched. That was so funny. That was kind of good. I was like, yes, you piece of shit. But, you know, it's not. Sean isn't vying for Myles Garrett. What Myles Garrett did was terrible, too, so. Terrible all around.
I'm not vouching for anybody. I did like that Agunjobi. Well, I can't pronounce his name. The guy from the Browns who just absolutely laid out Mason Rudolph after he complained.
Yeah,
he just decked him like a millisecond.
Oh yeah. So a bunch of people got fined for that. I thought that was ridiculous. I don't know about the indefinite suspension. I think they could have suspended him the rest of the season.
Yeah,
I don't think he should be suspended next year. I don't know if they're going to planning on
be a full story afterwards.
He doing
had,
that
had his hearing today.
Yeah, it's like just you know call it the season and call it a day. All right. I mean, it's the worst football play we have ever seen. I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't watch football in the 70s, but I can assume that happened. You know, I don't know if people were swinging helmets, but a lot of fucked up shit happened in the 70s on the football field.
Just go to YouTube and type in Vontez Burfict and have your way.
Yeah.
Pick whatever clip you want.
I mean, defensive linemen back in the day used to punch guys in the ear, you know, used to fuck with guys' ear holes on their helmet. Like, that hurts. That kills.
There was
Deacon
a pass
Jones.
Rush that was, Deacon Jones used to do that. He would punch you upside the head.
Some yeah.
guy had a pass rush where he would slap you with both hands on your ear holes.
Yeah.
To give like a literal concussion.
Yeah.
Concussion of air.
The dude on the Raiders killed somebody.
Jack Tatum.
Jack Tatum.
His nickname is the Assassin.
Killed somebody on the field. So don't tell me that getting hit with a helmet is the worst thing you've ever seen on a football field. Death.
I bet he suited up the next week.
Death is the worst thing you've probably seen, you know, that has happened on a football field.
Raiders used to put liquid concrete inside their wrist tape.
Yeah, I mean, they did everything. So, you know, there was some worse shit. But, you know, it was bad. It was really bad.
It was bad, yeah.
But back to this week, there's some other crap games, and then you go to the biggest one, maybe of the year at this point, this which is San Fran is at epic. Baltimore. I mean, that's
epic.
Awesome.
I know. San Fran's defense looks impregnable. Their defensive line is just loaded with talent.
Yeah.
They got enough on the back end. They play a defense that suits their pass rush, and then you're going against a
run-heavy team. But everyone's saying they play a lot better. I'm sorry. Everyone says they play a lot better in San Francisco. I haven't seen them a ton, but at home. Yeah. But I don't know. Someone was alluding to the fact that they're like, I don't know how they're going to do. I feel like Baltimore's defense is going to stifle San Fran's offense. I'm actually kind of excited. I know the whole matchup is, you know, what their San Fran's D is going to do against Lamar. That's obviously the big matchup. But the inverse of it too is, I think Baltimore's been playing better than they should be, and San Fran's offense has kind of been lucky as shit.
A little bit, but Baltimore's defensive strength is their pass defense, and the Niners' offensive strength is their runoff.
Yeah.
I feel like that's going to work in their favor. The Ravens have they have Earl Thomas and Jimmy Smith, and they just picked up Marcus Peters. They got some good guys in the defensive backfield, and I just wonder if they're going to be giving up yards on the ground.
Yeah. So that's going to be a huge game. Oakland at Kansas City, I kind of like. Kansas City coming off a bye. Oakland just got beat. They
that
need
game
a win.
Is for
they're
the lead
stay
in that
in
division,
it.
By the way.
It's for the Oakland lead in the division?
Oakland 6-5, Kansas City 7-4. If Oakland wins that game, they're leading that division.
So there you go. That's a huge game. Oh, that's awesome. And then the Monday, you know, obviously the Sunday night game, Pats at Houston. And then the Monday night game, finally, we've got a couple string of Monday night games that are pretty good. Minnesota at Seattle, great game.
That is a great game. It's a weird one. I feel like those teams never play each other for some reason.
Yeah, I know. You're right. It's an odd matchup. I feel like Seattle should kick the shit out of them.
They might. They just might.
Minnesota's all fluff.
Their defense has really turned it around as well.
Yeah, and Seattle, you know my thoughts about Minnesota.
I'm aware that you think the Vikings aren't that good, but every so often they show up like they did against the Cowboys on Sunday night, the last time they played in primetime.
True.
Okay, y'all. Ruben. Thanks for listening. I'll give you the inside info next week about what the Texan Stadium is like. And thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you later.
Awesome. Adios.